When Kevin asked me to speak, I asked him what he thought I should talk about, and he mentioned talking about gaming culture, LARPing, D&D, stuff that I'm pretty familiar with. And I really wondered where I was going to work that into a sermon, because I feel like there's a gap. There's a barrier preventing a lot of Christians from entering into gaming culture, talking about gaming, some of that from the satanic panic of the 1980s, whatever. Most of us are over that. I'm over it. Hopefully you guys are too. If not, I'll run out of here before you can kill me. This sermon is also less safe than anything I've preached because I put a lot of who I am out there. I put a lot of my identity. And that's always scary when you step up in front of people. So I thought about what this sermon should be about. I don't like to preach about things that aren't an issue. I don't like to just tell you facts and let them sit and leave them in a vacuum. So I thought I would address a problem we have in the church in the midst of talking about gaming culture. And that's the problem of otherness. Ephesians 2:11-22 talks about two types of people, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. You see, the problem of otherness has existed within the church for eons. For years and for centuries, we have wrestled with this, those who are insiders and those who are outsiders. We build walls, we put up gates, we have gatekeepers who keep the outsiders out and the insiders in, and both stay in their respective roles. Never once do we cross over. And it seems impossible at times to have conversation across those barriers. This has its roots in the Jewish temple tradition, where the veil hangs between the holiest of holies and those outside. We know from the scriptures, from the gospels, that when Jesus was crucified, that veil was torn. And with that veil being torn asunder, it's with a literal and a symbolic breaking away of those barriers, a tearing down of the gates, if you will, and an opening up the Spirit of God to all peoples. I also wanted to preach a little bit about young people, because I feel like, as a young person, I guess, still, I'm 30, maybe that counts, we aren't always welcome to speak in leadership or to speak into the life of the church. I looked a little at 1 Timothy 4:12 and considered some of what Paul exhorts Timothy to do, a little bit of standing firm in what I believe and what I think, even though, at my age, I certainly still have a lot to learn about Christian leadership, about discipleship, and about how the church works. The church is facing what appears to be an exodus of young people. I know MCUSA has acknowledged this in a number of articles, trying to exhort young people to come back, to stay firm and just stay in the church, stay in conversation. And in some places, that's worked. In others, there are no young people to be found. They're leaving, or they show up on Sundays and they give lip service, and then they go out and live their lives apart from the church. And of course, I wanted to work in gaming culture because that's my context. That's who I am. I wanted to model some of my ministry efforts after Paul and use my own experiences with my capstone, with my own friend groups and community as a model for how we begin to break down the walls of otherness, how we begin to talk about diversity and variance in our communities in a way that is effective and opens people up to conversation and doesn't threaten them, doesn't threaten to take away who they are by considering other points of view. Basically, I want to teach you guys how to do ministry with the tools you have and the tools that you know. Because not everyone is a gamer, not everyone is a nerd or a geek, but I am. So if you can, listen closely to this and try to transform a little bit of what I'm talking about into your own context, whether you're a woodworker, whether you're a baseball player, whatever you may be. Try to transform it into your own hobbies and your own ideas and ways of being. Firstly, this is a sermon about lions. Disclaimer, I am not a lion tamer. I know very little about lions, and what I have here is taken from Wikipedia. Lion society is built on cooperation against others. Otherness in lion society marks you as prey. You are either part of the pride or you're meat, and meat gets eaten. Lion society is inherently patriarchal. Yes, the female lions hunt and do the killing, but the male lions are the rulers of the pride. They lead out. Most of all, lion society sees the young as a threat to the status quo. Infanticide amongst lions is quite high, and when a new lion or a new male comes into the pride, the old lion, the children, the cubs, are killed. The young have no place in lion society unless they serve the system as it is. They're not allowed to challenge it. They're not allowed to stand up against it. They can't speak out about it. The young are threatened within lion society. I held this up against a different kind of creature, lambs. So another disclaimer, I'm not a farmer. So what little I know about lambs is taken from Wikipedia. But lambs and sheep in general are built around reliance on a shepherd for their survival. All sheep, the entire flock, is important in the shepherd's eyes. The sheep see the young as the future, and they make space for them. Sheep will even go so far as to take on another's young if they don't seem to be caring for it. Another mother will step in and act as a surrogate. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that there are two kinds of people in any given group. There are two societies going on. There's lion society, which embodies a lot of the classic Western stereotypes. Ultra-masculine, threatening to outsiders, closed off with walls and gates and gatekeepers. And then lamb society, which in my mind is an image of Christendom, is an open society. It is a place where children are safe and cherished, where the young bring new ideas, and all are valued and seen as worthy by the shepherd. So what does any of that have to do with the church or gamers or young people? We embody one of these two cultural ideas within our communities. And the one we choose will affect how our youth and how outsiders respond to us. So that's where I come in. See, so I'm a gamer, as Kevin said. I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I consider gamers a subgenre of nerdiness, so I'm somewhere in there. But I come out of gaming culture. That's my personal and communal context. Most of my friends are gamers. Big surprise. We all like the same things. We do some of the same stuff. We're all just kind of geeky people. It has had such a profound impact on my life that I actually made it the core of my capstone project at the seminary. Now, for those who don't know and haven't had the pleasure of going through seminary, at Eastern Mennonite, your MDiv culminates in a simple project, sometimes simple, sometimes not, where you try to bring together a lot of what you've learned and address a core topic or core issue using your own context or dive into a brand new context. And I really struggled with what I was going to do for my capstone. For those who don't know, at the time, I was interning at Waynesboro Mennonite Church, and I had the privilege of speaking with Howard Miller many times about what I should do. And I remember once, I think it was a Sunday, might have been a Wednesday, not important, we were talking about where I was with ministry, how I perceive myself, and how others perceive me. And Howard was very bold in making the statement that he saw the most excitement in me, the most energy, when I would talk about gaming, when I would talk about my gaming group, when I would talk about my friends coming over, planning these new communities and trying to get new communities started, whether they were in the church or whether they were just home groups. And it got me thinking, there's got to be something there. There's got to be a reason that I feel so much energy, so much passion in these times. And not just because a lot of these people are my friends and I get excited about being around my friends, but because I know the rules here. I know how this system works. I know how this subgenre of nerd and geek functions. I know what to do, and I feel very much comfortable speaking into that and using the pieces to create new things, create new small groups, to have conversation around. But yeah, I feel like gaming has become more commonplace in society, so maybe it won't be too risky to talk about this. So for my capstone, we played an RPG. It wasn't actually D&D. As Kevin mentioned, I am a big Dungeons & Dragons nerd, but this was a similar RPG that allowed me to spin a story based around a more modern context. And what was interesting about this was that it randomized the characters that each player was given. Everyone had a different persona. So we had someone who was a drug dealer, and that person had never done drugs, never will, has grown up in the church, grew up living a straight life, has never done anything of the sort, and it was a challenge for them to play that character and see what it was like to live a life of crime. This was crazy for them. We had people who were playing characters with a different sexual orientation, different gender orientation. They were trying out things that were not comfortable. They were not normal for them. But in taking on those roles, they at no time were forced to abandon who they were as people. My friend didn't become a drug dealer, thank God. My other friends didn't change their genders, didn't change their sexual orientation, though we would have accepted them if they did. Ultimately, they were free to try on new roles. That's why we call it role-playing. That's why we call them role-playing games, because they are games. And there's no real agenda or stakes up in the air. It's just a game, and you can relax. You can take on this role. You can be in someone else's skin for a little while and see how that feels. you can experiment and you can go to dangerous places and talk about risky things without risking yourself and who you are, without going into spaces that are uncomfortable if we have to bring ourselves in. So a bit about what gaming culture is to me. It's a space for exploration of ideas and hopes, as well as for confronting fears. I've gone up against things as a gamer that I would never have been prepared to face in my real life. It's a place of community and acceptance for me. We're all geeks here. It's okay. No one judges anyone else because we all know that we bear the same stigmas, the same labels, and the same ideals. We come in here with the idea that we are going to enjoy this experience together, and no one's going to make fun of you for enjoying it your way. They're diverse and ecumenical groups with diverse hobbies, lifestyles, and interests coming together for a common pursuit. And there are means by which we can engage the controversial without risking our actual relationships and community. Within our game, we had two players whose characters were intent on destroying one another throughout the entire game, and those two people are the closest of friends. We continue to meet week after week, month after month, year after year, and at no time have their differences driven them apart. Because ultimately, they know at the end of the day, they can set aside that identity, set aside that role, and continue to live their life. And most of all, the gaming culture is primarily composed of young people. There are a few older folks who speak into it, but for the most part, it's young guys, people my age, and young ladies. You know, it's been an amazingly diverse community for me to plug into. Now, I also want to talk about what it absolutely is not, because I have been accused of being a walking stereotype at least once for the gaming nerd culture. Gamers and nerds are not sad or defeatists. We are not unable to cope with the real world or prone to escapism, though I'm sure there are some people who fall into that. It's not a sign of mental instability or social maladaption. In fact, I'm the only single person in my current gaming group. Everyone else is married and has been for several years. It's not inherently sacred or defiling. It's simply a subculture. It's just one more group of people who have a common interest and a common hobby around which they can have a conversation. So this is how I introduce lamb culture into my gaming friends. First of all, I put aside the religious trappings. I knew that we had people who were not churched or were de-churched, if you will, have left the church entirely, and would have been immediately turned off by the idea that this was some sort of religious experiment, but instead was a way to do a game differently and talk about cultural issues. Then we started playing games, just sitting down and playing games. And that built our camaraderie and our mutuality. Now we had something that we liked to do together and a reason to like each other and to stay around each other. Then, as naturally occurs, we found places of variance, places of conflict. We had people who were diehard conservatives. We had people who were progressive liberals. We had folks who were marching in Charlottesville. We had folks who believed that politics should not be discussed at any point because it's all just angry, violent, no time for that. We had folks, as I said, who were de-churched, folks who had grown up in the church, folks who were in seminary alongside me. We had folks who were Presbyterians, folks who were Baptists, folks who were Mennonite. We had all sorts of folks. We had folks who were all for inclusion of LGBTQ. We had folks who were not, who would absolutely stand against that in a church conversation. So I started to introduce the idea of exploration of these. Can we talk about these things? Is this a safe space to do that? And everyone seemed more or less open, although we also knew there were things we would never bend on, things that we would never change about one another. And I realized we would never really make headway in that conversation if it was just that, just a conversation, just words. So I decided to play a game with these folks, a game built around the ideas where everyone acts out their positions, their beliefs, their ideas, their orientations within the game, and to see what that felt like, what it meant to live in that life, to wear that skin for a little bit. And then we observed it. We talked about what that looked like. We did it again with different roles, people switching things up. And then we reflected on what that was like together. We recorded those sessions, and I ended up presenting my capstone, and it was well received. Obviously, I graduated, and I passed. So as we begin to play a game, which is gaming culture, share ritual together, we can begin to build community and commonality. I don't know what your shared rituals are in your own hobbies, in your day-to-day life, but I know that you have them, whether it's just getting coffee or an afternoon break, even a smoke break after work, whatever it is, I know that you have a shared ritual, even if you wouldn't name it as such. those are the things that we build community and commonality out of. They're the places where we can come together and have conversation. Our group didn't split. That group is still meeting. We started sometime in 2014, I want to say, and we're still going. It's been 4 years. We have found so many differences, and we've had so many people come in from different ethnicities and different ages, different backgrounds and different beliefs, and yet we have still been able to hold together to find commonality. So the only issue that I pulled out of this for myself is, where is the shepherd in this Dale? Why are you preaching about lamb culture that relies on a shepherd when there's no shepherd in gaming culture? Your sermon sucks. Throw it out. Well, I figured out an answer 5 minutes before I came in. And I wrote this last page about it. So, how does Jesus work into the gaming culture analogy? The reality is that Jesus is sitting around the gaming table. Christ is reflected in each of us, and we reflect Christ back to each other. Our community embodies Christ as we model this behavior for one another, and we find unity in our differences and our beliefs. In our case, some haven't become open to the message of Christ, but some are. Some are attending church for the first time in their lives. Others still won't go back, but they're open to talking about it. They're open to having a pastor sit down at the table with us. We still break bread together, even if our bread is pizza delivered in the middle of a session. We're very invitational. We love to have new people, and we love to start new groups around our new friends, people that before we might not have talked to, people of all races, ages. We have folks ranging from 16 to 60. And that is a diverse community. That is ecumenical beliefs, and it's an invitational community. It's what I envision for the church, a missional community. The challenge I want to leave you with is not for all of you to go out and be gamers. It is not even for you to build lamb community in the church. In fact, I would challenge you that most young folks my age have given up on lamb community in the church. The mass exodus out of the church comes not from the way the church is or not liking the worship or what have you. It is because we've realized we can't actually change the system. It seems like it has too much momentum. Instead, what I want to challenge you to do, and the reason this is such a risky sermon, is to not be the church here on Sundays, to not be lamb culture in this building, although it's great if you are. What I would love to see is for us to be lamb culture out there, beyond these walls, out there in Stanton. I would love to see what it looks like for a group of Stanton Mennonite Christians to go to the Dragon's Hoard and sit down and talk to some of these guys. Just learn about their hobbies. Roll some dice. You don't have to be into gaming. You don't even have to get it. You don't have to understand what it means. Just be open to learning. And then watch where, when you open that door, the door is open for you. Where the opportunity to evangelize and spread the gospel comes not from banging on doors, not from putting out signs, not from the right marketing, but from knowing one another and having actual, genuine community. Of loving each other and loving people where they are, even when you don't understand. Of having conversation and taking the time to know people. Not simply claiming it on Sunday, giving lip service to it, and then pretending, well, that's them. That's those nerds, those geeks. We don't have time for them. And not giving in to stereotypes just because they're easy and simple and basic to grasp. But instead seeing diverse groups of people. People who have all kinds of strange things, all kinds of interesting things, all kinds of glorious things where God is moving in their lives. Thank you.